Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning and welcome. It's great to see everybody here. This morning, as nobody needs reminding, is Yom HaZikaron, and therefore in the middle of the shir there will be a siren at 11 o'clock. What I plan to do is stop just shortly before the siren. I'm not sure. I think that clock is pretty much correct. So if we time it, do you think it's correct? Would you agree? I think that's more or less right. So if we stop just before the siren, we should be able to hear the siren. And then what I'd like to do is I'd like, after the siren, to turn the last 10 minutes of the shir towards Yom HaZmaut, which is what we're going to be talking about at the end of this topic, which I think is appropriate. But there's a little bit of ground to cover before then, and we have to recap a little bit on last week. We are looking generally at the issue of music, sphira, and we're going to bring it to Yom HaZmaut. And this is quite a hot topic. There have been a few posts I saw on Facebook last night. I'll mention one in a few minutes. That have been dealing with this issue because, as I said last week, there's been a significant change over the last 25, 30 years in our attitude towards music. We saw quite a lot of sources, the overwhelming majority of sources in part one, which seem to indicate that we're really not allowed to listen to music the whole year. Forget about Sfira and the 3 weeks and Tisha B'Av and Beit HaMitzrayim, etc. Music is just off the Jewish menu because of Zecha LeChorban. Yes.
Simcha music or music?
Music, all instrumental music. Other than at an actual mitzvah or simcha or chasna, which clearly is fine, and even then the Mishnah Berurah says don't overdo it, even at a wedding. Music, listening to music, apparently according to many sources, Shulchan Aruch, we saw the Mishnah Berurah last week, we saw Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Vosner, we saw so many different sources that said apparently you're not allowed to listen to music. The Mishnah Berurah, even if you remember last week, have to find a justification for a mother to sing a lullaby to a baby, to put the baby to sleep at night. Ad kidei kach, the Mishnah Berurah has to bring that's okay. But as long as this and as long as that, etc., etc. Now, as I mentioned to you last week, it's very hard for us to relate to this because we just don't seem to live in that world. And really, in fairness, not just the people in this room, I suspect, but most people in the Jewish Orthodox world. As I pointed out last week, there are two Haredi radio stations in this country that brand themselves as Haredi radio stations, Kol Chai and Kol Barama, and therefore what happened? And I think we started discussing this, and we'll move it today to Sfira, but I think three things have happened over the last 30, 40 years. Number one, there's been a fundamental change in the nature of music that was unimaginable. Take it back to the 1970s, 80s, how could one listen to music? Well, obviously, originally you had to have a minstrel, and not in the 1970s, but you had to have musicians come and play for you. Okay, so by the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you had records. Then you had tapes, CDs, whatever it was. Now you could just stick a little Bluetooth earpiece in your ear, and there are literally billions of pieces of music that you can just have going into your ear at any time. There are over 5 billion videos viewed of YouTube every single day. This is unimaginable in a world which was, until like 20 years ago, never even heard of the internet. And therefore there's been a fundamental change in the way that we relate to music and listen to music all across the world. Secondly, and Rav Vosner already alluded to this in the 1980s, there seems to have been a change in our general need for music. That if we don't have music, we begin to sink quite quickly into a bit of a depression. And we seem to need music, and it's almost like a, not medical, but it's psychological as a need. Music is something that we connect to. And also, we started talking about this last week, and this may depend on the kind of society you're in. There is a feel, and we'll talk about this during Sfira, that maybe things have changed a little bit in our attitude towards Galut and Churban. And that will depend how Zionist, non-Zionist, anti-Zionist, whatever you are, in the sense that there are many people today that feel that a lot of the Zeich L'Churban mitzvahs that we have, the halachas that we have, don't necessarily reflect exactly how our Churban is working through. Baruch Hashem, we live in a world where we have a lot to celebrate. There's still a lot that we are not yet able to celebrate, and Yom HaZikaron is an important day to remember that. But things have changed. They're not just the way they were 50, 100, certainly not 500 years ago. And therefore there are people that want to try and bring that argument that we just relate differently to this concept of Avelis and generally being in constant Avelis today. And we saw that at the end of last week's session when we looked at the Rabbi Yonatan Eibershitz, who said that even if a Jew today could celebrate and say that I've gone okay, the vast majority of Jews in the world live, he says, in abject poverty and misery, and therefore, even if you're doing okay, how can you possibly celebrate and listen to music when you know that most people are in a terrible, terrible exile? And again, do we feel that way today? Is that how we actually relate to it? So let's turn this now towards, more specifically, Sphira. Before we get into Sphira, we need to look at the issues of Av. Because the contrast between them is very important and sometimes overlooked. The Gemara, in fact, the Mishnah already says, number one, Mishenichna Av Mema'atim B'Simcha. It's a din in the Mishnah. Once Av comes in, we have to actively reduce Simcha. Now, it doesn't say we have to be without any Simcha. A Jew should always be with Simcha. If do es Hashem B'Simcha, but we should reduce the amount of Simcha. And that's codified in Shulchan Aruch, number two, Mishenichna Av Mema'atim B'Simcha. The Ein Oisin Nashim, we can't get married during Av. The Ein Oisin Seuda Seirusin, we can't even have a Seuda for an engagement. Avalea Reis Beloi Seuda, but to actually get engaged without a Seuda, Muta Afilu B'Tisha B'Av. I bet you've never been to an engagement on Tisha B'Av. Okay? You're even allowed to get engaged to make that connection, the Kiddushin. We don't do this anymore. We don't do Eirusin on its own. Today our engagements are what halacha is called shiduchim rather than Eirusin. But if you're actually doing an Eirusin even on Tisha B'Av itself, we now do that under the chuppah. Mutale areis shelo yikdemenu acher, because you never know. If you leave it until tomorrow, he may change his mind, she may change her mind, chaperayin while you can, if it's Tisha B'Av, it's Tisha B'Av. Says the Ramah, but noigin la'achmir she'ein noisim yudzayin tamas, we the Ashkenazim are machmir even from the 3 weeks. That's a minag that extends that, but tamas ve'elech ad achat Tisha B'Av, until after Tisha B'Av. But that's in the halakha. That is a din d'rabbanon from the Mishnah, from the Gemara, that there is an active period of proactive avelus. Not so with Sfirat HaOmer. There is no mention anywhere in the Gemara that Sfirat HaOmer there is any halakha of reducing Simcha. There's no mention of that anywhere. On the contrary, Sfirat HaOmer is seen as being a very happy time. Look in this quite famous Ramban in number 3, when the Ramban on the Chagim is talking about the period of Sfira, he says the following, V'tziva b'chag ha-matzot, God commanded us on Chag ha-matzot, Shivat Yamim, 7 days, B'Kedusha, Lifneyem, Ulachareyem. A Kedusha at the beginning, a Yom Tov at the beginning, a Yom Tov at the end, 7 days of Pesach. Ki Kulam Kedoshim, U'Betokam Hashem. Even though all the days of Pesach are Kodesh, there's a special Yom Tov at the beginning, a special Yom Tov at the end, Cholamo in the middle. U'manam Imenu, and then we have to count from Pesach, Tisha B'Arba'im Yom, 49 days, Shiv'a Shavuot, Ki Yemei Olam, 7 weeks, which are like, he says, the 7 days of creation. These seven weeks are almost like 7 days themselves. The Kidesh Yom Shmini, and then we have to make the eighth day holy, which is Shavuot, to Shmini Shalchag. It mirrors Sukkot. Whereas on Sukkot we have 7 days followed by Shmini Atzeret. On Pesach we have 7 weeks followed by Shmini, but like a big Shmini, which is 50. 50 is, of course, analogous to 8. It's after the sets of 7, the Hayamim Hasfurim, the days that are counted between them, Kachala Shel Moed, Beina Rishon, V'Hashmini B'Chag. They are equivalent to Chol HaMoed. We are now in this time of Simcha of Chol HaMoed, between Pesach, which is like the first Chag, and Atzeret. Chazal took on the custom to call Shavuot Atzeret. If you look in the Gemara, Shavuot is always called Atzeret, because of this exact idea. It's analogous to Shmini Atzeret. And therefore, this period that we're in is a period of Simcha. So how did we end up associating it with Avelis? And the answer is, I'm sure this is well known, Rabbi Akiva's students. There's a Gemara in Yevamos I brought here in Midrash in Kohelet Rabba, number 4. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Shnei Da'asim Alafim Talmidim Hayuli. I used to have 12,000 students, he says in Gemara, 12,000 pairs. Migabat Ba'adam Tipatras, from all across Israel. The Kulam Mesu B'chayai, and all of them died in my lifetime, Bein Pesach La'atzeret. They all died between Pesach and Shavuot. Here, Atzeret is Shavuot. Ubesof heinidu li shiv'a. And in the end, I ended up re-establishing 7 students for Eluain. These are the 7, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemi, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Baruch Hai, Bar Yochai, Rabbi Elozar ben Noishel, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. These are the students he had. Amalehem, and what did Rabbi Akiva say to them? This is less well known than the Gemara in Yevamos. Why does it say in the Gemara in Yevamos that we're more familiar with? Why did the students die? Why did the students die? They didn't give kavod to each other. Okay, they didn't give kavod to each other. But Amalehem, and he says to them in this source, what did the first ones do wrong? Rishonim loy mesa elam ipnesha haita einehem sarabat horaz elazah. They were not generous with their Torah. This is my Torah. This is not your Torah. They didn't have this kind of positive attitude towards sharing Torah and bringing people close to Torah. They were guarding of their own Torah. Atem lo tiyu kachem. Don't you be like that. Miyad amdu milu kol ha'aretz Yisrael Torah. And that led to the whole land being filled with Torah. These 7 Talmidim that he set up became the backbone of what later became the Mishnah. The Gemara doesn't associate that story of the death of the original Talmidim with any kind of halakha of Avelus. However, that did develop. And its roots are actually in the Gaonim. We'll see a mention soon from the Aruch HaShulchan. But from the time of the Gaonim already, there were minhagim. There were customs of Avelut during this period linked with the students of Rabbi Akiva dying. I have heard some rabbis say that the Avelus during the Sfira have no real source. Its first source is the Shulchan Aruch. I even read a rabbi that said that on a post last night. That is not correct. That is not correct. The sources of Avelus in the Sfira go back at least 1,200 years into the time of the Gaonim. And one of the main reasons in the time of the Rishonim why this developed, especially for the Ashkenazim, is because this time of year was a time of pogroms. Between Easter, between Pesach, which usually coincides with Easter, and Shavuot, this was a time during the Crusades where there were significant pogroms, etc. And that's why the Ashkenazim have always been that little bit more down, if you like, during... I mean, maybe you could argue the Ashkenazim are more down generally than the Sfaradim in life as a whole. That's another discussion. But certainly during the Sfira, the Ashkenazi minhagim were more ingrained because of this period of negativity that they suffered so much during Sfira. So I remember, by the time you hit the tour in number 5, he says it very clearly, Nohagim b'chol ha'mekomot shelo lisa'isha. Now, the tour was Ashkenazi, but he lived in Spain. And therefore he wants to say b'chol ha'mekomot. In Sephardi and Ashkenazi land, there is a minag, but it's minag, it's not from the din of the Gemara. There is a minag not to get married, then Pesach la'ateres, between Pesach and Shavuos. The hatam, and what is the reason? Shalot laharvot besimcha. Shavuot, he says, man, make the Talmid Rabbi Akiva. Do not increase simcha. Now I want to point out a very important thing, which is that in Av, there is a mitzvah of, or a halacha of mema'atim besimcha. There has to be a reduction of simcha. That's not what he says to Tzvira. He doesn't say reduce simcha. He says, don't make extra simcha. And there is a very important difference between those two things. Whereas during the 3 weeks for Ashkenazim and during Alpha Sfardim, we have to actively try and take steps to reduce the simcha. We don't have to reduce simcha during Tzvira. We just have to make sure we don't increase it beyond what is normal. And that, I think, is a very important distinction in the way that the halachas work on those two things. That, together with the concept that Sfira is rooted in minhag. Let's see how the Shulchan Aruch records this. Number 6. Noegim shaloi lisa'isha ben pesach la'atzeret ad lamad gimel la'oimer, ad lag ba'oimer. Mipnei she'oysa zman meitu talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Fine. He brings down here not just from Pesach to Shavuos, but specific to lag ba'oimer. Aval areit l'kadesh, but to get engaged. To do kiddushin, meaning not what we today call engaged, but to do the kiddushin, hari at the kudeshetli, yeah? Shafidami, that's 100% fine. V'noisin nami mi shekapas v'kanas ein oimshin oisan. Interestingly, unlike during the 3 weeks, when you are not allowed to get married, says the Shulchan Aruch, the minag during Sfira is not to get married. But if somebody says, you know something, we're getting married in the morning, sounds like a song I heard once, and somebody does that, huh? Okay, we don't punish them. You got married. It's nishkafelech, because even though the minag is, we shouldn't, it's not actually awesome. And then he says, noegim shaloi lehistaper, we see now something new, there is a minag not to have a haircut. He doesn't mention shaving. Interesting. That's litgaleach. He says not to have a haircut. Ad lag ba'omer, okay? She'omrim she'az pasku l'minimus. Because there is an idea that that's when the students cease dying, and I'm not getting into the whole issue now, whether it's on the 33rd day, on lag ba'omer, or lad ba'omer, on the 34th day, the Sfaradim, that's not for today's shir. Then he brings another minhag that I'm sure most people here have never heard of. Nagu hanashim. There's a minhag amongst women, and the Mishnah Berurah adds, v'hu adin hanashim, and also amongst men, shelo lasod malacham epesach v'adat seret mishkia hachama v'eilef. Not to do any work at night from shkia onwards. Anyone heard of this? 49 days, no work from shkia onwards. Some people, this is every day. Well, so it's brought down in the later Svarim. Now, this may relate just to the issue of between Shkia and Sfirat HaOmer. The Mishnah brings down that it's not that you can't work all night for 49 days, it's not at all. It's that before you count Sfira, you should not be doing any work because it'll distract you. Which is interesting because he brings it to Nagu Nashim. And as we know, not all women count for a Sa'omer, and some women are even told they should not count for a Sa'omer. So that's an interesting conundrum that comes in there. If it's related to Sfira, what's with the women? Yes.
We were now thinking
okay, the whole year round?
Yeah.
Or just during the whole year round, fine, but nothing to do with Sfira, yes.
Do you have any references about that it's become really a minute on Lag Ba'omer for people to have weddings?
Right. Lag Ba'omer is a whole shir in and of itself. What we now call Lag Ba'omer would have been unrecognizable to most people 100 years ago, even 50 years ago. Lag Ba'omer for most people was a day that you didn't say Tachanun. And now Lag Ba'omer has turned into an international rock festival almost. I suspect that's partly a response to a Yom HaAtzmaut, in the sense that there's a whole crowd who don't necessarily do Yom HaAtzmaut, and now they do Lag Ba'Omer. You can disagree or agree with me on that. I think psychologically that may have something to do with it. But Lag Ba'Omer has been turned into a very big thing. I'm not saying it's necessarily bad. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not getting into all of that now. You could argue all sorts of different issues as to what happened to Lag Ba'Omer in Iran, etc. But it's now been built into a whole industry, Lag Ba'Omer. But I don't remember it being like that. I mean, the other people can remember more than me, but Lag Ba'Omer is a relatively new thing in that sense. By the way, it's not even clear that Lag Ba'Omer is the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's Yom Hilula, the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and the idea that that's when he died is disputed even by the Mekubalim. This is not just like an academic angle on this. But that's another discussion which is not necessarily for now, and some people might get very upset about that. If anyone's interested, I have a very funny story about a set of books that I inherited from somebody, and Lag Ba'Omer, but it's not for now. And another time, you can ask me the story. Okay, so that is in terms of weddings and haircuts. And also a minhag at the end of not doing work, which seems to have fallen away. That no one's really, really heard of that. Because the nature of minhag is that minhag changes. Minhag morphs. As people change the minhag, the people are koveya the minhag, the people make the minhag, the people unmake and rechange the minhag. That's how minhag works. It comes from the bottom up rather than the top down. Dinim derabbanon come from Chazal, mishenichnas avma matin besimcha, whereas minhagim come from the bottom up. So we'll talk about that more as we go through that. Interestingly, the Mishnah Berurah makes a connection between Sfira and Chol HaMoed, which, as we saw from the Ramban, maybe even a deeper hashkafic connection. He says in number 7, Nogin shelo listapeh, we don't have haircuts. Mikol makom, oisam mutarim listapeh b'chol HaMoed. Those people who were allowed to have haircuts on Chol HaMoed, Yesh lama de gamba sphira shari the loy adif me chol HaMoed. The same halachas, we import them from chol HaMoed into sphira sa'omer. So those people who were allowed to have a haircut chol HaMoed, someone who got up from a bailiff, somebody who got out of prison, etc., came back from a journey, they couldn't get ready before chag, they would be allowed to cut hair during sphira itself. This is very interesting. What has chol HaMoed got to do with sphira sa'omer? The minhagim of sphira of avelus because of avelus. The reason for not cutting hair on Chol HaMoed has got nothing to do with Avelus. It's completely different. So I heard a fascinating shir. I gave you a source for it at the bottom here from a friend and colleague of mine, Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky, who lives in Neve Daniel, and you can get it online, where he wants to actually say that Since Chazal understood, or since the Gaonim rather, and the Rishonim understood that this period was the Etzem, a period of Chol HaMoed, like the Ramban said, when they introduced Minhagim of Avelus for the students of Rabbi Akiva, actually they were introducing Dinim of Chol HaMoed, to make us remember that it is still a Chol HaMoed. And these are actually Gavka, the two things we don't do in Chol HaMoed, which is get married and have haircuts. Interestingly. Maybe you could have argued they should have said no laundry as well for 49 days, but I think we know why that's probably not what they did. But then, you listen to that shir by Rabbi Twersky, it's absolutely fascinating. Rav Avadya Yosef wants to stress, Svira is not the same as the 3 weeks. And so many people, I've heard, they could ask, can you make a Shechianu during Svira? And the question comes from a misunderstanding of the nature of Svira. Look at Rav Avadya in the Beis. Ulam la'achid bonanut. There's such a big difference between Av and the Sfira. Av was the time of our Churban, the Sharpuranayos, and all these disasters, Hamavavoyim, which happened to us, but which are elucidated in the Mishnah in Tanis. But whose Manshal Asan, Klali, it's a time of national tragedy, disaster. La Am Yisrael, the Nikba Bechia LeDorot, and we have an eternal mitzvah to cry at this time. Aval Yemei Asfira Mitzat Atzmam Einam Nechshavim LeYemei Puranut Chas V'Shalom. He puts in a Chas V'Shalom there. God forbid you should think that this time of year is a sad time of year. Adarabba, on the contrary, Kasev Ramban SheKedushas Yemei Asfira Kimei Chol HaMoed. The Sfira is like Chol HaMoed. Umitam zeh hiskimu gedolei ha'achronim she'af al pishei ein levar ha'shechiyanu b'mei b'nei metzarin. Even though you can't say a shechiyanu during the 3 weeks. Of course not. What, shechiyanu v'kimanu v'higiyanu lazman hazeh? Thank God we got to this time? How can you say that during Av? Mikol makom mut levar ha'shechiyanu b'mei ha'sfira al pri chadash she'mitchadesh mishana v'shana. But of course you can make a shechiyanu during Sfira. Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'higiyanu lazman hazeh. Yes, I'm happy to be lazman hazeh. This is a happy time. Therefore you can make a Shechianu. Therefore you can't equate the two. You have to always be careful that you're not making that confusion. Rav Avadya puts that forward very clearly. The Magen Avraham, in number 9, extends the Minhagim of Sfira in a very important way. Venerally, says the Magen Avraham, he's 1600s in Poland. The Mutal Aso is for Oysa Pam Suda Ewusin. You're allowed to make a Suda Ewusin. Aval Asot Rikudim Ubecholot Shall reshut nagulas. He introduces this new phrase, rikudim umucholot. To make stam rikudim umucholot during Sfira, shall reshut, meaning not for a mitzvah, but just stam, to make dancing. And rikudim umucholot are different kinds of dancing. I'm sure there's a choreographical distinction between rikudim and mucholot. Mucholot's really in circles. Rikudim may be in square dancing. I don't know. If that's got back from Tennessee, maybe square dancing is the order of the day. But he says you can't do dancing during this period. And even if you have what we today call an engagement party, you can't have dancing at your engagement party. Now, there was no mention of Rikudim and Mecholot in the Shulchan Aruch, or in the Gaonim, or in the Rishonim. They talked about haircuts and weddings. But he now wants to say, actually, this is, the minag is, to not have this dancing as well. Nagulato. Now, I don't know where the minag came from. I don't think he's creating it. I don't think the Magen Avraham is waking up one morning and saying, you know something, let's make even more restrictions during Sfira. No, I don't think he's doing that. I think he's recording it. Nahagu. He's looking around him and saying, in 17th century Poland, we have a minhag that we don't have rikudim and mucholot during the Sfira. And again, where exactly this came from and who started it, like all minhagim, is a good question. Where do minhagim come from? But he records it already at that time. And the understanding of many poskim is that, what does this mean? This means music. Now, nobody talked about music explicitly. But that's not surprising, because based on last week's shir, did anyone need to come along and say, ah, oh, but during Sfira you can't listen to music? No, because you can't listen to music any time of the year. So it's not surprising when people turn around and say, yeah, but he never says anywhere in Shulchan Aruch you can't listen to music during Sfira. Shkayach, just look at the halachas for the whole year and it says it there. Okay? So even though they didn't specifically talk about music, the Aruch HaShulchan, if you look here, or look first at the Minchas Yitzchak, in number 10, The Bichlal is the Rikudim of Mecholot Shekaltav Magen Avram, included in this concept of dancing that the Magen Avram says, Havigam Kain Kli Zemer. That means music as well. Mitan Kol Shekain, it's obvious, he says. It's a Kal V'chomer. But after the Mekorah Din Loi Ita Rak Rikudim of Mecholot, even though they only mention specifically dancing, Mikol Mokam Pshitalayim, it's obvious, he says. The Kli Zemer Loi Yitzamen. Music's not worse than dancing, the better than dancing in that sense. But Imkain, Hu Adin Le'inyin Imetsu. So this has been the general approach of many poskim. The Aruch HaShulchan says the same thing in number 11, that dancing obviously means music. You can't listen to music. And of course for them it meant live music. There was no recorded music for the, in the time of the Aruch HaShulchan. You can't listen to live music during the Sfira as well. And actually the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm not going to read it all now, makes the point in number 11 that in some ways the halachas of Sfira can be even stricter than regular avelas. With Avelis, we make, in genuine Avelis, we make a distinction between someone who had done the mitzvah, a man who had done the mitzvah Pru Ravu, a man who has not done the mitzvah Pru Ravu as to whether he can or can't get married. He said, with Sfira, there was no distinction. Why? Why should we be stricter during Sfira? It's a minhag. The answer is, yeah, that's the point. It's a minhag. A minhag is what the minhag is. You can't ask a kasha on the minhag. What people do creates the minhag. Ah, but this doesn't quite make sense. It's not necessarily meant to be a logical derivation from a halacha. It's the minhag of the people in that sense. And minhag is very important. Go over the page to page 3. Look at the minhag Zichar we just quoted before. He goes on to say, there is no question. The minhag not to enjoy live music, Godel Kayach HaMinag. This is a very serious minhag. Adiyesh Lama, the Nogea Be'itzadot writer. It could even be a Torah prohibition. Why? To have it come on neder, because it becomes like a neder. And this is a very important halachic point. Kumash HaKata the Chasm Sefer, he quotes the Chasm Sefer, the Hevi Miran, Miran Nadarim, he brings from the Ran in Nadarim, the Bechol, the Chol Shemekabel, Alav La'asot Mitzvah, have a Min HaTorah. If you take on a neder to do something, that becomes a Torah binding obligation. You make a neder. I'm not going to eat chocolate for the rest of my life. Not recommended, that neder. That's it. You're bound. Chocolate for you is prohibited on a Torah level. If you decide that was a bad idea, you better hope that you can find someone to do Hataras Nedarim. Now, if a community takes on a minhag, that can have the level of a neder d'oraita. It's a communal minhag. Now, with a communal minhag, you can't just go and do Hataras Nedarim, because the community as a whole can't do that. The only way to get out of a communal minhag is either if the community changes the minhag, or if you leave the community, which used to be possible. You can go, you don't like the idea of not eating kidney on Pesach. Well, I'm sorry, if you're Ashkenazi, that's a neder, and maybe even on a level of a doraita. Not that I'm saying to eat a piece of kidneyot on Pesach is chometz. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that to break the neder willingly may be an issue of a doraita. So what can you do? Go live in Yemen. And then you won't be an Ashkenazi anymore. Or marry a Sephardi. Yes, less radical. Yes, go marry a Sephardi, and then you left the community. But you can't just ignore. You can't just ignore the minhag and say, it's minhag. And therefore, this is very important. People sometimes have a typology. They say, Doraita is on the top, Darabonon's in the middle, and minhag is after that. That's not necessarily clear. Because the minhag itself, if it's a neder, can have the din of a Doraita. And by the way, the Darabonon's also could be Doraita as well. Because as the Rambam says, every single mitzvah Darabonon is backed up, is underpinned by two Torah mitzvahs, which are to listen to the Chachamim and not to break what the Chachamim say. So it turns out, really, everything turns out to be Doraita, which is an interesting debate, which is not for now, but in the structure of Halacha. So let's not play fast and loose with the Minhagim of the Sfira. They have to, on the one hand, be taken seriously. On the other hand, they are Minhagim. I mean, Minhagim do change. Let's talk for the 10-15 minutes until the siren about some of the details of how the poskim have understood music during the Sfira. So having understood that there is a problem of dancing and therefore probably instrumental music, what does that include? So Rav Moshe Feinstein draws a distinction, which I think is quite famous in America, between instruments and voices. Hence the whole a cappella innovation. Look at number 13. Va'alidei ha-radio, if you want to listen to the radio, he says, im nashma zimra de puma, if you want to listen to music, vocal music, musa, that's okay. Ve'im b'kli zemer, also, and if it's instrumental music, it's also. U'b'yimei sfira, yesh aso b'zimra de mana, af lamatir, and even those who allow instrumental music during the year, as opposed to the churban, general churban issue, even if you allow that during the year, as we said last week, it could be only prohibited together with wine, etc. During the sphere, they shouldn't listen to it. He stands off Rav Moshe Feinstein. And therefore, it could be that's instrumental music during the sphere, but vocal music is fine. Hence, a number of people who say that listening to vocal music during the sphere is okay. The Tis Eliezer rejects that, we saw last week from Rav Vosna as well. He says, once it's recorded, it's recorded, meaning to listen to people singing live. I hear that. That's different from music. But once it's already on a CD, on a tape or whatever, and I play it, okay, that's just damn music. And therefore, he says he doesn't see any distinction between a cappella music and instrumental music. He says if you don't listen to music during Sfira, you shouldn't listen to a cappella music either. We saw that also last week. Rav Avadi Yosef makes it clear again, this is a theme we see, don't go overboard on this. You must make sure that you keep on singing. You keep simcha in your life. Number 15, Mikol Makam Shira Bepeh Tashihi Derech Oydalish LaHashem Yitbarach. If you want to sing in praise of God, Bli Klin Nagina, without having musical instruments, Mutter, that's 100% fine. V'chein Mutter LaHashmini Ima B'Tfila. Of course, you must sing when you daven. Kumo Shinema Idu Is Hashem B'Simcha. He's telling you, don't get into a funk in Sfira. You have to do Ibdu Is Hashem B'Simcha, Ba'alafana Birunana. The culture came to Shabbos, all the moment Shabbos must sing on Shabbos. V'chein Yesh L'Hakash K'oshik B'Torah, when you're learning Torah, Lilmod B'Ne'ima, you should be singing when you're learning. We're not meant to be depressed during Sfira, he says very clearly, but musical instruments, not. However, other people have said that this whole distinction is getting on the wrong track. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others made this distinction as well, is no. It's not about the type of music, or whether it's recorded or not recorded. It's about whether it's the type of music of rikudim or mecholot. It's not about vocal versus instrumental. What did the Magen Avraham say? He said that dancing is a problem. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, and Rav Rimon also, passes this way, he remembered Rav Rimon from Alan Shpud just wrote a new sefer on the Minhagim Sfira, and he makes this point very clearly, that it depends on what kind of music you're listening to. If you want to listen to music which is dance music, so when she wants to come and jog around the room, then that's the kind of music which is a problem during Sfira. If you're listening to Sam music, just background music, we'll get to that in a minute, then if it's not music which is related to Rikudim u'mucholot, so what's the problem? That's not what they were talking about. And therefore he says, I don't see any distinction between music, a cappella music, and instrumental music. If it's beaty a cappella music, then it's a problem. If it's calm instrumental music, then it's not a problem necessarily. And therefore, that I think, and that was always what I was told when I was asking Shilas on this in London, that it depends on the type of music. And that's what I tell my students, if they're going to listen to music during Sfira, it shouldn't be beaty music. It should be, you know, relax. You don't have to be sad music. You can listen to sad music on Tisha B'Av. But it should be music which is not marbe b'simcha. That's the whole idea. You have a question? Yeah, that's fine. We'll see that in a second. That's an absolute no question at all. There is a view in the Chelkas Yaakov of Yaakov Reich that it could be that recorded music is generally not a problem because once it's recorded, it wasn't part of the original minhag. This is an interesting question, a bit like kidneys. What about quinoa on Pesach? What about potatoes on Pesach? Should potatoes be kidneys? There were those, the Chai Adam that wanted to say, well, of course they should be kidneys because potato flour is easily confusable with wheat flour, and if you're going to prohibit corn flour because it's confused, so you should prohibit potato flour. And others turned around and said, that's not how kinyan works. It's based on a minag. What was in the minag is in the minag, and potatoes were never in because they never had potatoes. Chocolate beans. Coffee's beans. So let's say coffee's osur on Pesach and chocolate's osur on Pesach. And no, it wasn't in the minag. It wasn't in the minag. So too, recorded music was never in the minute because they didn't have recorded music. So maybe there's no problem. Most poskim don't go with that. They say that music is music. Now it's recorded, then it wasn't. But still, there's a problem of music, especially if it's beaty. Rav Moshe Feinstein is interesting, brought in a distinction between regular classical music and other kinds of music. Look at number 16. Very interesting thought. This is from Rav Zakovsky, okay, who is a contemporary Haredi posek. dying in Israel, very important rav and posek in the Israeli world. Look at number 16. Nimsa shemuzika klassi. What about classical music? I mean, there are those that argue that there is no other kind of real music than classical music. Therefore, if it's alternative music, of course that includes classical music. But he doesn't say that. What about classical music? She'enena musica mevia lerikudim u'mocholat. Exactly what I just said to you. This music doesn't make you dance. Nobody skips around the room to Beethoven's Ninth. Okay? That I know anyway. Okay, so people do? Okay, maybe. Okay, fine. Beethoven's Ninth. No, certainly not the Mozart's Requiem. Okay? It's not played, classical music is not played at simchas. That's not included in the problem of sphera. Rappaport, I heard this, he says from Rav Shabtai, Rappaport Shlita. B'shem Zignoi, Harav Moshe Feinstein, in the name of his grandfather, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Sheheta Shmiat Musica Reka, music had Reka, that the heta of listening to background music. Be made bein amatzurim during the 3 weeks. Hainu musika shoshomei adam toichshehu oisig b'malachta. This is music you have on when you're at work, or lomed, or when you're learning something, or noheg, or when you're driving. Music that you have on in the background when you're driving is not called music for this purpose. Nira li shetam ha'hefehu mishum she musika gazor. And the reason is clearly this music ain or mevili de rikudim emocholot. It doesn't make you want to dance. And therefore, why would this be a problem? Since you're doing something else. Musica zor, this kind of music, therefore, he says, shehi chiyunit lanefesh, and this is the point that I made before, that people find this music, it lifts them, it gives them a certain kind of psychological boost. It's got no connection with the music that they said not to listen to during Av. It's not also during Av, and certainly won't be also during Sphira. And Rav Rimon also rules this in his book. He says those who wish to rely on this Hesa for listening to classical music during the Sphira, he says that is legitimate as long as it's not beaty, music that which you want to dance around the room, but he doesn't extend this to actually playing live musical instruments, but listening to music may be fine. Rav Willig says the same thing. Just look, I brought you in number 14 in the footnote here. Rav Willig from YU is quoted, Rav Mordechai Willig is of the opinion that since there is no early source to indicate a specific prohibition on listening to music on the Sphira, there should be nothing inherently wrong with doing so. He argues that while it's true that people may not engage in excessively joyous activities, i.e. dancing, listening to music does not convey the same sense of excitement and joy that dancing does, therefore he rules that listening to recorded music is permissible. Now he doesn't even say classical here. Sounds like any recorded music which is downbeat is maybe fine during Sphira. Playing music for Parnassah or for study, I brought you an Igros Moshe reference, absolutely fine. Even during the 3 weeks, certainly during Sphira, maybe during the 9 days and the week of Tisha B'Av, there's what to talk about, but it's fine during Sphira.
My husband was a musicotographer, and Rav Hotner said he's permitted to play everything.
100%. That's not controversial, that's fine. Music for a mitzvah. Let's talk about that for a minute. Are you allowed to have music for a mitzvah? So we saw for shiduchim, they said not. Because maybe shiduchim is not really a mitzvah in the same. An engagement we have today is not actually doing a proactive mitzvah. But Rav Avadya Yosef in number 18, I'll allow you to read that in your own time. Rav Avadya says that if it's a bona fide mitzvah, meaning a bris milah, bar mitzvah, anything of that nature, he says music during the Sphira is basically fine. And again, Rav Rimon Paskins this in his book as well. If you're having a bar mitzvah, this will be even live music. It's an interesting question. If you have a bar or bat mitzvah during Sphira Ta'amid, do you have live music or do you not have live music? And different people do different things. And Rav Avadya says here that it's legitimate. Even a siyum, he says, if you have a siyum mesechta, you make a siyum, that's a simcha, that's a mitzvah, and a bar or bat mitzvah bayom would be also a reason if they give a drosha, and therefore there is room to be lenient there. Two other things before we move on to Yom HaAtzmaut after the siren, which I just want to deal with quickly. Look in number 5. What about Chol HaMoed? If you keep the first half of Sphira, meaning you up to Lag BaOmer, there's not many people now that I've met that do the old Ashkenazi minhag of keeping from Rosh Chodesh through to Shavuos. There are some people who still do that. But I think most people now go up until Lag BaOmer. For those people who go up to Lag BaOmer, Cholamoed part of that. There are those that want to say yes. 20, I brought your prima god in that seems to say yes. But that's very strange. How could there be a minhag of not singing and dancing on Cholamoed when there is a mitzvah of the Samachta B'chagecha? Now, okay, it doesn't say in Pesach, in the Psukim, Simcha on Pesach, but we learn the halacha that there is, and therefore, clearly, Rav Menashe Klein and almost all Poskim write, in number 21, that actually even those who keep the first half of the Omer are allowed, as in Tesfira, are allowed to listen to music and to dance, etc. on Chol HaMoed, and this is clearly the practice. So one last thing before we get to Yom HaTzmaot, which is that what about those times during the Sfira that we don't listen to music, or so that we do listen to music? So even there, the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Mishnah Berurah, he brings the Mishnah Berurah in number 19, that maybe you shouldn't be having mamish parties, even except on Lag BaOmer, because the whole of the Sfira has a certain din of Avelas. And therefore, Rav Rimon also rules that unless there's a real need, a party which is Stamper Rashut should not be held at least until Rosh Chodesh Sivan. But what I want to get onto in a couple of minutes after the siren is that where does this take us to Yom HaTzmaot? And what about the recent phenomenon of the Kululam? If anyone's heard of the Kululam, this is a big new thing. And I want to talk a little bit about that and how that works, these mass singing events. Almost like the Shem Mitzvah, there was one for Shoah, there was one for Yom HaTzmaot. We're going to talk about those in a few minutes and bring it into the whole in Yana Diyoma of Yom HaTzmaot. But it's now a minute to 11, so we should be able to hear a siren. Will we hear it in here? Do you think maybe we can open a window? We think there's still a bit of time before the siren. One more minute. Yes, sir. Rabbi Ziegler.
Yeah, we went over quickly. We didn't really elaborate on the shaving and haircutting.
Mm.
So let's just have a quick point here. Because haircutting is usually in regard for a time of Simcha.
Right.
You think I have it for a wedding, for a young girl, for a
right,
time.
Right.
Shaving
is just being a respectable person. Correct. Rabbi Ziegler is 100% correct. I didn't deal with shaving at all, really, or haircutting, because that wasn't the subject for today. I'm talking about music. But absolutely right, there are those who have a custom that they will, even though they won't take a haircut, they will have a shave, or maybe for Shabbat, they will shave for Shabbat, etc. And we'll talk about Yom HaTzmaot and shaving as well, because Rav Shechter is makel with music on Yom HaTzmaot, but not with shaving, which is interesting, which we'll get to, and therefore, you know, there, yes.
About the business of music with reference to taking lessons and even dancing.
Dancing lessons. Keep fit. Look, my wife always used to get very irritated that there were places where she went to keep fit, they wouldn't play music during Sfira, and it's not that easy to do keep fit during Sfira without music. You need a bit of music, and really make out there's no problem having music on for the keep fit. During the 9 days, you could have a discussion about that, yes. But there's no problem. Yes, sir.
One thing, Minig Elizabeth, New Jersey is the second half.
Ah, the Minig of Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Is the second half.
You have to go to Chutzlar. You have to go to Chutzlar to find real Ashkenazim these days. In Israel, it's all become a bit of a cholim. Nachon. Okay, I think the time must have arrived. So, as we transition tonight from Yom HaZikaron into Yom HaZmur, so how does this relate to Sfira? So, the Ramon rules that during Sfira, someone who has a personal simcha, like a bris or a sheva brachas, may shave. Look at number 22. Misha hu bal bris, or mal benoi, somebody who did a bris milah for their child, mutar lehistaper b'sfira. They are allowed to even have a haircut, which, as Rav Ziegler said, is even more of a sign of a simcha, to have a proper haircut, b'sfira lichvon milah, as a covered for the milah. And we see this even in the laws of Tisha B'Av itself, even during the 3 weeks, and on the 10th of Av, number 23, Tisha B'Av shechali yos b'Shabbos, like this year, when Tisha B'Av will fall on Shabbos, which it quite often does, v'nidcha le'yom harishon, and it's pushed off till Sunday. Sunday really is the 10th of Av. So it's not actually Tisha B'Av. Ba'al brit mitpalel mincha, what should the Ba'al brit, if you have a brit on the 10th of Av, what should you do? Daven mincha ba'oid ha'yom gadol, stand for mincha gadola in the middle of the day, ruches, and then take a shower. Because for you, because of your simcha, it's all finished now. That's not Tisha B'Av itself, that's if it's nidcha to the 10th. The Eino mashlim tanita, you don't even need to continue fasting. You can eat in the middle of the day, he says. Lefisha yom tov hushalavu. It's your yom tov. It's a day of yom tov. So if already a private day of Yom Tov, which for you is a Yom Tov, can set aside Minhagim of Avelas, so it seems to be Dvarim Pshutim that if it's a public day of Yom Tov, where thousands, if not tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are celebrating that it's a day of celebration and Simcha, then this will set aside Minhagim of Svira. Now, it goes without saying that if you don't celebrate Yom HaZmaut for whatever reason, and I'm not getting into a discussion of yes Yom HaZmaut, not Yom HaZmaut, we had a whole shir on that last year or the year before, I can't remember exactly, but it's on my website, there's a whole presentation and an analysis of that. But if you regard Yom HaZmaut as a neutral day or even a negative day, then of course you're going to keep the minhagim of Sfira. There's nothing to talk about. The question is, if you hold it to be a day of Halel v'Hoidah, it's a day of public simcha, it's a day of thanks because of the geula that we received on Yom HaZmaut, then it's a complicated discussion. I knew people in London who said Halel on Yom Yerushalayim, but not on Yom HaZmaut, because they said there's a difference between them, and there's an interesting discussion to be had on that. But for a person who is saying Halel on Yom HaZmaut, would they break with the usual Minhagim of Sfira or not? And there you see really many different Minhagim on that. Some people do not break with them at all, and they say the two are not a Sfira. The fact that I say Halel is not in any way a contradiction to the fact that I'm not going to have a shave. Other people, or listen to music, other people say, well, no, that you're living in a cognitive dissonance. How can you be saying Halel with one breath and then turning around and saying, I'm keeping Minhag Avelas? They don't go together. Halel is a Chagigi element, and Minhag Avelas is the opposite of that. Rav Rimon quotes a number of important poskim, Rav Yitzhak Nissim, Rav Avram Shapiro from Mekka Zarav, who said that even shaving is permitted on Yom HaZmaut. Many poskim have said that music and dancing is permitted on Yom HaZmaut. I brought you some quotes there. And Rav Nissim even said that making a chasna on Yom HaZmaut is allowed, which is interesting. Has anyone here ever been to a chasna on Yom HaZmaut? I've never been to one, but I have heard of it. But this doesn't seem to be the minhag for people to actually have a wedding on Yom HaZmaut. But he feels that's the same idea. Rav Shechter, as I mentioned before, says that shaving has an older origin in terms of the minhagim, and therefore he is stricter on shaving, even though, as Rabbi Ziegler says, some people shave generally during the Sfira, but on music he's more lenient. But other people say, no, you're allowed to shave as well. Rav Rimon makes the point, it's not his only him that makes the point, that the reason for the minhag of Avelas is because Rabbi Akiva's students died. Why did they die and how did they die? So it's not entirely clear. But there are sources that suggest that they died in the fight with Bar Kokhba against the Hadrianic persecution. They died trying to form a Jewish state in the land of Israel, because they had an understanding that 70 years, just as the first Geula, after the first Churban happened, the Shivat Zion started 70 years because of the prophecy of Daniel, 70 years after the Churban. They understood that would be the case for the second Churban, so 70 years after Churban by Sheni, they felt now is the time to come back. It didn't work out that way, as we all know, but how fitting would it be to celebrate Yom HaZmaut rather than to have the Minhag Avelus of the students of Rabbi Akiva, but rather to understand this is what they were fighting for, and now Baruch Hashem we've been Zocha to actually have the state, then how appropriate and how fitting to be able to actually celebrate the day itself. What if the day is not really Yom HaZmaut? Meaning, more often than not, we celebrate Yom HaZmaut now, not on the 5th of Iyar, as this year on the 4th of Iyar because of Chilul Shabbat. So most postings, if not all postings, say, well, even more so, the day of Yom HaZmaut is the day that the Rabbanut say is Yom HaZmaut. That's the day that has the Kedusha, if you like. And if they say it's a different day out of respect for Kavod Shabbos, that's an even bigger Kiddush Hashem. And therefore the day has even more sanctity in that sense, and I think that makes a lot of sense as an argument. In fact, the original declaration of the state was meant to happen at midnight when the British left on May the 14th, but Ben-Gurion brought it forward so as not to be Mechal al-Shabbat, so the state would not be started with a Chilul Shabbat, so they brought it to Friday afternoon, which itself was a Kiddush Hashem. So what about this Kululam? Has anyone heard of this Kululam? I'd never heard of it until 2 days ago, I must confess to you. The Kululam is a phenomenon, I think, of this year. I've never heard of it before this year, but maybe it's before, which is now this sort of mass, I think it goes with a kind of flash mob type, where mass singing, where people erupt into song. It's not spontaneous, because it's very planned in this case, but there have been a number of these where thousands, if not tens of thousands of people have been coming together to sing. 12,000 people came for the one for Yom HaZmaut, coming together to sing, but not just stand to sing Rikudim Mucholot. It's not just dancing to have a disco. It's dancing, singing rather, it's not dancing, it's singing for a higher purpose. Someone said to me that they went to the Kululam for the Yom HaZmaut. They said it was almost like a Tfilah B'Tzibur, this person said to me, because they had all those people, and they have the videos showing how meaningful it is. I saw one that was done for Yom HaShoah with Holocaust survivors, extremely moving, one that is going to be shown on Yom HaZmaut. Is there a problem of the halachas of the sphere there? By the way, is there a separate issue of Kol Isha, which I've not seen anybody discussing, which I think can't be seen as just an obvious, it may be that we decide that it's fine, but it has to be discussed as to why is that not an issue at all. That's a separate conversation which we'll have when we have a Shibli's God on Kol Isha. But leaving Kol Isha to one side, what about the issues of Sphira? So I saw a wonderful piece written by Rabbi Alex Israel, who's a friend and colleague of mine, and some of you probably know him and his family. He wrote a very nice, he posted a piece yesterday on Facebook, where he set out both sides of the coin here, that on the one hand, Minhag Sphira are deeply ingrained in the Jewish people, and they're in the Shulchan Aruch. You can't just play fast and loose with them and say, oh, you know something, that's old news, we'll do something new now. You can't do that, not right. On the other hand, we feel such a sense at this time of year, l'shem mitzvah, that there is an avirah chagigit, there is a celebratory atmosphere, that coming to sing in one of these events is almost like rikudim u'mecholot shel mitzvah, rather than shel reshut. He's not machriya, he doesn't decide one way or the other. He writes in his piece that on the one hand this, on the other hand that, and I'm conflicted and I'm going to leave it as a conflict. And I understand his understanding there. But I definitely hear the side. I'm not a postek and I don't pass anybody's shilas, and please go to your local Orthodox rabbi for these issues. But I certainly understand why someone would say that there is no problem of these gatherings when it comes to the issue of Sphira, even if it's not mamash on Yom HaZmaut itself. And I think there is a sense that things, the minhag is changing in this sense. And we'll have to sort of watch this space over the next 15, 20 years as we go forward. Please God, 30 years from now, we should all be alive and well. We'll be the 100th anniversary. And able to dance, or at least to sing. At least to sing. Let's not get too adventurous, okay? They can push us around a bit, whatever. But as time goes on, since I think this is a legitimate approach, since all of these halachas we've been discussing today are rooted in minhag, so if the minhag makes, the minhag can develop, and therefore we'll see. Go and see what the Jewish people do. Im lav nevi'im hein, b'nei nevi'im hein. There is a collective nevuah for the Jewish people. We'll see which way this goes. And just like we've seen where there's a din of korban, where you're mamash not allowed to listen to music the whole year, it sounds like, from what we saw in part one, and yet we've seen that developing and changing in different ways. I think we'll see the same thing. Please God, we should continue to have increased simcha, increased nachas from the state and the people of Israel, and we'll have another shir on this in 10 years or so, and we'll see where we're holding it.